Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, why don't you go ahead and find the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to preach. I don't think I'll get done today, but you know, I mean, I'll quit today, but I don't think I'll get done with this message today. But we'll be back, all right? Amen. I want to talk to you about pressing in and how we need to press into God in these last days. Hallelujah. Amen. Press in. Praise God. Everybody say press in. Now, let's go in our Bibles, first of all, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and we will start there. Thank God for God's Word. Amen. Yes. Praise God. I don't know, I feel good today. Didn't the team do an awesome job today? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works." Aren't you glad it didn't just stop at provoke? Yeah. Yeah. "But to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner," or some say habit. You know, Jesus, the Bible said his manner, his habit, his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. That was his custom. He did that. Some customs are good. How many know that? "As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." Now, I want you to pay particular attention to this last phrase. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." The day approaching. Well, let me know, the day he's talking about is the last days, the return of the Lord. Amen. And if you're paying attention, you see it approaching at a rapid pace. You know, I remember back in the 1970s, and I remember thinking that, you know, we wouldn't make it out of the 70s before the Lord came back. And I thought, we surely won't make it out of the 80s. And but now as I look back and I you know, in hindsight, I see that, man, it wasn't near as bad back then as I thought it was. Yeah. But now I look at today and I am sure, everybody. Yeah. I said, I am sure the day is approaching. I'm not going to look back and say, oh, I thought it was bad back. No, it's here. Yeah, it's here. I said, it's here. Yes, it is. I mean, when we got the things that we got going on in our world and in our nation, and in our school systems, and in our government, and we don't know it's here, then we're just not paying any attention. We're not reading our Bibles, but it's here. And he said, as you see that day approaching, he said, so much the more, not less, more, gather together. Now, what I see him saying, this is a series I'm going to preach on. I'm saying it's a series because I think it's going to be at least a couple services or three about pressing in. What he's saying is as we see the day approaching, the more we see that, the more we need to press in. The more we need to press into the things of God. Not back off, but press in. Amen. And there are reasons now, and it just seems like over the last couple years, the Lord has really put it on my spirit to warn those that I preach to about being ready. Come on. Because I see what Jesus said coming to pass. Jesus said, in the last days, because iniquity would abound, or that literally means lawlessness. People wouldn't have any restraints by any laws. Yeah. I mean, we see that right now where we got a society that wants to be lawless. Defund the police. Why? Because they represent law. Well, help me understand that would just be really disaster. I mean, who are you going to call when somebody's trying to break in your house? Amen. You know, I don't think we should defund the police. I think we should give them a raise. Yeah. I think they should make more than our politicians. Come on. Defund the police. And yet, some of the very people that are crying for defund the police have security around them. This isn't a message about politics, but I'm just preaching, and that's my sermon, and I can preach if I want to. Amen. So I just think, you know, now what is that? Well, here's what that is. That is the spirit of lawlessness. Now, the Apostle Paul said the spirit of lawlessness is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's that spirit. So as it's getting stronger in our time, it wants to throw off all restraint, all laws, that's one of the things the Antichrist, the Bible says he will do. He will change times and customs. And boy, if we don't see that spirit working today, where people, you know, right now in our country, we're being told, and if you don't believe this, you're a bigot, that a man can have a baby. I read in Jeremiah, it says, who has heard such a thing? That's what Jeremiah said about a man having a baby. Who's ever heard of that? No, listen, I'm not a bigot. You say follow the science. That's all I'm doing. The science proves there's never been a man have a baby. If anybody has a baby, they a woman. And if they think they a man, they confused. And we don't need to leave them in their confusion. We need to help them out. If we really love, love helps people out. Amen. If I see you headed for trouble, love does something. Love steps in. Love will warn you. And if you're a woman and you think you're a man, or you're a man and you think you're a woman, you're headed for trouble in this life. And so somebody needs to step in and say, no, wait a minute here, this is just crazy. But it's the spirit of lawlessness. Change everything. Turn everything upside down. Now, what's this got to do with pressing in? Well, the Paul said, as we see that day approaching, we need to press in more. Yeah. Amen. Because Jesus said this, and I finished saying this, but Jesus said, because iniquity will abound, lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Everybody say many. How many is many? That's a lot. Now, you have to have love for God for it to grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. Now, what's he saying? He's saying what will happen is in the last days that spirit of lawlessness will get on some in the church and their love will grow cold. And he said many. Many. That's why God's been having me warn people, make sure you stay on fire for God. Amen. Now, Paul even told us, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said this. He said that... that in the last days, he said some would depart from the faith. Then he still told the church at Thessalonica, he said that there would be a falling away come. Then he told Timothy, he said, the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. We're at that day right now where people don't endure sound doctrine. They don't endure sound doctrine. Amen. Sound doctrine. It really... sound doctrine is kind of a rarity now. When I hear a preacher on TV preaching sound doctrine, I'm thinking, well, thank God, somebody's still preaching some sound doctrine. Yeah, amen. Amen. So we see that coming, and Isaiah talked about it this way. Isaiah said, he said that in the last days, talking about the days that I believe we're living in right now, he said that that darkness, gross darkness or deep darkness would cover the earth. But he said the glory of the Lord. Yes. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The glory of the Lord would rise and be seen on us. Right. See, it's like there's two clouds that are coming on the earth. there's gross darkness. Well, that cloud's here, but there's the glory of the Lord that's going to arise. Amen. And Jesus told us, I don't know about you, but I want the glory cloud. I want the glory cloud. And that's what he said in Isaiah 60, that gross darkness, thick darkness would cover the earth, but the glory would be seen on us. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to focus on that darkness.
No.
I'm not going to spend all my time focusing on the darkness. Now, I'm saying some things this morning, but I'm not going to spend all my time preaching about the darkness. We do got to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about the glory. Amen. But we need to know this is coming on the earth. Don't fear that. Look to the glory of the Lord that's coming on the earth. See, now, and he said the glory of the Lord would arise and be seen on you. Amen. And so there's those two clouds, see, that are coming on the earth. And, you know, if you're paying attention, you already know that the dark cloud is already, it's already here. It's already here. But thank God for the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, thank God for the glory.
Amen.
Thank God for the glory.
Yes.
Now, Jesus gave us a parable in Matthew about the end times. In Matthew 25, he said, then, being in the end times, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The 5 wives, they took oil and they took their lamps and they took extra oil. The 5 foolish took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil, and they ran out. And he said, now, and he's talking about in the last days, he said, there would be a cry made, the bridegroom comes. Then those, the wise, they got up, trimmed their lamps, and had plenty of oil, but the foolish ran out of oil, see. And Jesus said, be ready. Now, what was he saying? He was saying, in the last days, it's going to take extra oil.
Yes, amen.
It's going to take extra oil. Now, I know that from a pastor. Listen, I'm not a novice any longer. I mean, I'm not as old as Pastor Chuck is. Or Pastor, he's just a year older than me. But anyway, I'm not a novice any longer. I've been pastoring for a long time. I've been pastoring this church for a long time, but I was in the ministry long before I ever pastored this church, okay? So about 40 years now. So, and I know this just from experience. It's tougher to pastor today than it ever was. Because there is so much opposition. Now, you know, Dr. Dobson, how many know who James Dobson is? He's a great man of God, a holy man of God. You know, and he was more pronounced a few years back. Now he still has a ministry, but he's not doing as much as he did. He's getting older. But Dr. Dobson, you know, he said that about 1,500 pastors were leaving the ministry every month. Every month. And about, I forget what it was, it was real high. 80-some to 90% of those that go to the ministry to be a pastor, they don't make it. Why? Because you can't play with this thing today. You got to be on fire for God. You got to be filled with the Word of God today. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost today, or the devil will just take you out. Because that spirit is so strong in our world today, that spirit of Antichrist, that it takes people that are salty, amen, to defeat that thing. And pastors, of course, being the leaders or shepherds, they get more attacks. And so there's a lot of them just not making it. They're just not making it. But they could. You just got to stay full of extra oil. You got to have extra oil. Amen. Now, God doesn't mind you to do some things. He doesn't mind you having fun. Doesn't mind you playing golf if you're sanctified enough to do that. I've played a few times, and I can understand why people break their clubs and stuff. You know, and then Greg tries to get me to play more. He even bought me some clubs, you know. And it's like, I'm trying to stay holy, brother. Amen. A friend of mine in the ministry, One of our former presidents, I'm not going to name him, I'm not going to slander, but one of our former presidents, he said, you know, when he was running for office, he said, I was out on the golf course, you know, playing, and he came out there to play. And he had an entourage around him because he was running for president, which he did get elected. He said, but I told my friend, I said, let's just watch him and see. And he said, I noticed that he cheated. His ball went out of bounds. He kicked it back in bounds. He said, he's going to make a bad president. If you'll cheat in golf, you'll cheat in the office. And it turned out to be the truth. This guy, he did do some things that weren't good. But anyway, let's get back to the message. God doesn't mind you having pleasures. He don't want you to have pleasures to have you. Now listen to this. I have dreams, but they're not all of God. Okay? I've had people try to tell me, oh, every dream you have is of God. No, if you believe that, you're going to end up getting led, deceived by a familiar spirit. If you believe everything you hear, every word, everything that comes is of God, you'll get deceived. You wait and see. You're going to get off. No, but I did have a prophetic dream, and in this prophetic dream, the Lord showed me that he said this to me. This is the interpretation of many of my people are drunk. He said they're not drunk on alcohol. And they're not drunk on the Holy Spirit. You understand, drunk on the Holy Spirit means being filled with the Holy Spirit. Where Paul said, don't be drunk in wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, they're not drunk on alcohol. They're not drunk on the Holy Spirit. He said, but they're drunk on life. And they're drunk on pleasures. And they're missing in action. That was a strong prophetic dream. And so naturally, I have to come out and warn people, we need to make sure that doesn't become us. See, because I just decided, look, I'm not above that either. I had to come, Pastor Chuck, to the, you know, I always thought, well, I'm a spiritual guy. I love God. I serve God. I pray. I read, you know, I read the Word. I'm fellowship with God. I listen to preach. But I had to come to a point where I had to realize I need to make sure I keep my extra oil. I need to make sure I keep full, or that could be me. And if you think that can't be you, that's a place where you can really get deceived. So you have to make sure I'm pressing in. I'm pressing in. Amen? I'm not just staying where I was at or regressing. I'm pressing in. Amen? Because look at Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah 10, 27. Go there. Isaiah 10, 27. So we're in a day like no other day that we as the church have ever had. We have to make sure that we're staying on fire for God. Like Paul said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. But yeah, it seems to me now, I mean, we better follow that word from Paul, from the Holy Spirit. See, what would cause us to get in trouble? What would cause us to get in trouble is if we did it less, not more. But what I'm saying right now, at this critical juncture, it's becoming less. People are doing less. God's people are doing less than more. And they ought to be doing more than less. They ought to be in the house more. They ought to be praying more. They ought to be fellowshipping with God more. Amen? They ought to be worshiping more. Hallelujah. Not less, but more. Now, if you think that I'm being too dramatic, well, just, you know, you'll just have to wait and see. But I know I'm not. I know I've heard from God. And he said, we've got to watch it in these last days. I'm not the only one. There's all kinds of people that are saying the same thing, that we got to watch it. Because in these last days, when we do less, we're going backwards. See, we got to press in for more.
That's right.
No, we're not earning our way to anything. You know, a lot of the grace teaching that we've had over the last 10 years have just been, it's not been scriptural. We got preachers now telling us that we shouldn't feel bad if we sin. Well, if you sin, you should feel convicted. If your own heart doesn't convict you, you need to get saved. And literally what they're teaching people, there is an element of truth in what they're saying, but they're not saying it the truthful way. When we ask God to forgive us, we should go on and not beat ourselves up.
Amen.
Amen. But at the same time, we should never get comfortable with sin in our life. What they're actually doing is teaching people to sear their conscience to where now, you know, Well, if you do sin, don't worry about it. It's all covered by grace. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about it. Listen to me. That's not gospel. Paul said, shall we sin that the grace of God may abound? God forbid. Amen. Now, if we sin, you know what? We should feel bad. I still do feel bad. You mean you still sin? I did a couple years ago. I know I did when I yelled at those guys to come back and face me like a man. I know that wasn't God. You know those guys that yelled that thing at me as they were driving by? And I yelled back at them, come back here and say it to me face to face like a man. I know that wasn't godly. That wasn't the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And if they had to come back, I don't know what would have happened. Probably wouldn't be pastoring today because he'd probably been in jail. But anyway, but you know, thank God, God's good and he's merciful. And he knows we're stupid sometimes, right? But see, the thing of it is if you miss God, how many know you ought to feel bad? But if you repent, you ought to get over it, forgive yourself, and go on. I've met people who don't forgive themselves. They just bear, I sinned 25 years ago. Well, listen, God's forgiven you. Forget about it. He's forgot about it. You move on. But don't get accustomed like some of these are teaching by grace that grace has got you covered and you shouldn't feel bad. Just go on. No, you should feel bad. You should repent. You should feel so bad you repent. Don't do it again. Now, God knows us, right? It's like one minister I heard say one time, he said, I told the Lord, he said he'd done something. And he said, I told the Lord, he said, I was crying. I told the Lord, said, I'll never do it again. And the Lord spoke back to him and said, don't go lying now. I mean, his heart was right. But sometimes, we do mess up more than once. And we ought to feel bad. But we ought to repent, get it right, and not beat ourselves up and go on. Is that a good balance to that? See, that's what the gospel says. That's what the Bible says. If we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. That's the best way to do it. But if you do sin, it's over with. Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? Aren't you glad it says we got an advocate with the Father? Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just to forgive us. Amen. Isaiah 10:27, you found it? Isaiah 10:27, look at this. It says in Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and His yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. See, one of the job descriptions of the anointing is to destroy yokes, to remove burdens. Amen? And so what we need in our time, in these last days, remember Jesus said, talked about the virgins, the five wise, five foolish. Five had extra oil, five didn't. We need extra oil in the last days. We need that anointing on our lives to destroy these end time yokes and burdens that are here. Lest they get a hold of our lives or get a hold of our minds. So we have to make sure we keep the anointing on our life. How do we keep the anointing on our life? By spending time with the anointed one. We keep that anointing on our minds where our minds aren't bound up. Our minds aren't perverted. Our minds are anointed. Amen. It's just crazy the things you have to deal with today as a pastor. The things you have to teach. I never thought I'd have to teach these things. We spent the 80s and we spent the 90s teaching about our inheritance in Christ and our victory in Christ. And then we had to come off the wall a little bit and start fighting some of these false doctrines and these things that are invading the church. And people don't know, they don't know unless you tell them. It's the Word that sets you free. So people don't know. So then you got to come down and tell them these things that's just so perverted and all that's being pushed now, even by some in the church, as okay. You have to come down and say, no, that's not what the Word says. I'm sticking with the Word of God, everybody. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, if you're out to win a popularity contest, you'll fluctuate and change. But if you're out to stick with the Word, amen, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to get called names. People are going to say bad, ugly things about you, like you're a bigot, You know, you're okay. You know, they got all their choice names that they call you. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to teach a series sometimes on what is love, what is true love. You know, because today love is so muddy. You know, love wins. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. Here's what God's love is. God's love, you know, the King James Bible uses the word charity. Now, in the day that they translated that way, it meant more than it does today. Today, charity, we think about the Salvation Army, things like that, see. But charity, they translated it charity because they want to let you know it's a giving love. It's a giving love. God's love is a giving love. So they called it charity because charity is giving, see. So that's the reason why the King James translates it that way, but it doesn't mean as much today in people's minds, so it's kind of lost its meaning. But what God's love gives you is what you need, not what you want. Now, any parent ought to know that's true love. If you give your kids what they want, they're going to get in trouble. Why? Because they're not ready to make those decisions yet. Am I boring y'all this morning? All right. Okay. All right. Just want to check here. All right. So the thing of it is like, you know what? If you ask the kids what they want to eat, they're going to choose bad stuff most of the time. So if you really love them, amen, what do? You give them what's good for them. I remember Mama, man, I remember she, you know, I'm old enough that our parents, they didn't have a microwave. We can get microwave food. We can get microwave mashed potatoes or microwave macaroni. We got the real deal. I mean, they peeled the potatoes, they boiled the potatoes, they mashed the potatoes. They did all that, you know. And Mom would, you know, try to get us to eat the right stuff, you know. And then she would give us a one-a-day vitamin every morning, one a day. That was in a day when there was only about 3 vitamins. You know, now there's like 3,000 or whatever, more than that. One a day, you know, whatever the other two were. And that little one-a-day vitamin every morning when you come in before school, you go to school, at the breakfast table, each one of us, there were only three of us at this time. Each one of us had one of those little one-a-day pills by our plate, and we were to take that every day. And so I hated to take pills. You may not know this. Maybe you can say I can tell by the way you talk, but I actually am tongue-tied. My tongue is connected to the bottom of my mouth. It's not information you need to know, but I'm just explaining to you why I hated to take them, because they were hard for me to swallow, see, as a kid. And, you know, when Mom found out that I was that tongue-tied, she took me to the doctor and to have it clipped, and he's just made the comment, can he talk plain? And she said, well, yeah. She said, then I don't see any reason to clip it. And so they never did. So, you know, I'm in my 60s now, and I don't perceive it happening. So anyway, I hated to take medicine. So I would always wait till Mom left the kitchen, and I'd throw them down the heat register. I don't know how many's down. That house is gone now, but when they tore it down, probably all that red dots came flying out of that. When they took that furnace duct apart, they got, what in the world? What is this? Somebody hid drugs in here? Because I just throw them down there because I hated to take them, you know. But she was doing that because she wanted to give us what she thought was best for us. Amen. So God's love doesn't give you what you want, regardless, see, of what people say. People today say they want to teach that if you're walking in love, you agree with everything I do. No, Jesus doesn't agree with everything we do. And as a matter of fact, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke them. I correct them, see. Isn't my pressing in message going over great? Hallelujah. I'm actually going to get into some things about pressing into the, you know, the blessings and things of God, but this is where we're at right now. So you have to understand, see, It's the anointing that destroys the yoke and that removes the burdens. Now, I'm seeing yokes get on God's people, see. I'm seeing them get yoked down with things that are going to destroy their life. You have to remember now, sin has pleasure for a season, but the season's real short. And the only thing that gets pleasure out of sin is your flesh. If you're born again, your spirit man's not having any pleasure at all. So, but yet, there is an anointing that'll keep those burdens off of us. But we got to press in. Everybody say press in. In these last days, we got to press in more, not less, because the opposition is stronger. Amen. Now, thank God we have the authority, we have victory, but we have to press in. Amen. Now, I don't know. Let me see if I want to close here. Let's go to one last scripture. Did you get something out of this today?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we're going to continue talking about this, but I want to go back to what the Lord showed me. He showed me, he said, many of my people are drunk. They're not drunk on alcohol. They're not drunk on the Holy Spirit, but they're drunk on life. They're drunk on pleasures. Now, listen to this. They're missing in action. They're missing in action. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This is kind of a warning this morning about pressing in. And we need to just keep pressing in. Amen. Don't back off. But yet, listen now, listen to me. I am seeing and talking to ministers, pastors, and so forth, and their people are not pressing in, they're backing off. Did you know this is probably a fairly close estimate that churches, now there's a few exceptions, there's always exceptions, but churches like ours, other churches, that about 50% of the people that used to come don't come. I'm seeing meetings on TV of guys that used to have just full sanctuaries, they're just about half full. What's that? God's people are falling for this spirit in these last days. And they're being sucked away. Don't think it can't happen. It happens. It can happen to anybody that doesn't keep pressing in. You got to keep pressing in. Have you know anything? I don't know about you, but I want to get better at living for God. The only way to do it is to practice, to press in. Amen. Now, you know, we have that cornhole tournament every Christmas. And there's a few guys in here really good at it. The only time I ever play it is then, or when we have a guys get together and we have a picnic or something and we play it, I play it then. I'm not pressing in. I'm not pressing in to get better. That's why I was supplicating and interceding for whoever won to give me some of those cookies. And the winner told me he was going to, a couple. That's all right. I'm going to transfer them to my wife. Amen. That's right. That's right. There's a couple things going to happen to me in this new year. One of them, I'm going to be smaller. Amen. Who said amen? You're with me. I got you. All right. And another thing, my wife told me I could finally grow a beard. That's all the guys with the beards clapping. She says it ain't gonna happen. No, wait a minute here. I'm starting today. I shaved this morning. But you won't recognize me Wednesday night.
Because your face will look dirty.
Actually, I'm going to see if I can do it. I know I can here. I don't have, but since it's up in here, I'm not sure. We'll see. I don't want to look like I got the mange or something. So if it don't work, it don't work. But she finally, because she always tells me, no, I don't want you to have one. And then finally she said, yeah, you can if you want. So I gave it a test run, ran for 3 days, and I thought, yeah, it's coming in pretty good. I think this will work. And then I shaved it off, and I thought, well, I'm going to do it again. So, going to be some men around here. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I hope that's not the only new things happen for me in the new year. I hope there's some spiritual things happen. Amen. But listen now, I don't mean to be heavy today, but I'm just simply saying, you know, we have to make sure we stay pressing in. Like he said, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, why would Paul tell us that? Well, because he saw something coming, see. He's the one that said in the last days some will depart from the faith, that there would be a falling away. He's the one that said the time will come they won't endure sound doctrine. He's the one that wrote those things by the Spirit of God. So he also, I believe he wrote Hebrews, and he said, as we see the day approaching, we need to so much the more assemble or so much the more press in. Because if we don't, we'll get sucked back and sucked into the things of the world. Amen. Right. Now, you know, like I said, don't think it couldn't happen because it can. Amen. So anyway, now I want you to go with me, and I'm going to close with this scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Go with me to Hebrews 12. Go to verse 15. The Bible says in verse 15, as O King James I'm reading, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail or come short of the grace of God, lest there be any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, of course, Esau, you know, he was Jacob's firstborn, and he had the right to the firstborn blessing or inheritance. But he sold it for some beans, for some food. He sold it for something natural, see. And then his own father, Jacob, gave it, or his own father, Isaac, excuse me, his own father, Isaac, gave it to his younger brother, Jacob. And then when he saw he lost it, he wanted it back. But there was no way for him to get that blessing back because it had been given away. Here's the warning from the Lord is this. Everybody say press in. I want you to make sure we understand what we're talking about. If we stop pressing in, listen, we're literally selling our birthright for natural things. And what's going to happen, especially in these last days, because it's more, I believe right now, listen to this. You know, I've seen people backslide, you know, get away from God, and then they get back. But what I'm seeing today is a lot of the people that are getting away from God, they're not getting back. They're not getting back. And it's not that God wouldn't have them back. We got stories about the prodigal son, right? The problem is that demonic force out there in the world, that spirit of Antichrist is so strong, many of them that are leaving the church can't get back. They just can't get back. Not that God wouldn't have them back. It's just that is so strong, that pull is so strong on them that they just can't seem to get back. God would always welcome you back if you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Of course. But the problem is sometimes we can go too far and then the devil gets such a stronghold on our minds, we never make it back. I don't know about you. I want to stay strong in the last days. I want to press in. I know this isn't a shouting message, but you know what? I'll tell you one thing. This will grow you up. This will help put some meat on your bones. You know, this isn't just like whipped cream and ice cream and nuts. This is meat and potatoes. So we have to make sure we keep pressing in. Don't let the enemy have any ground. Remember what if Paul said in Ephesians, he said, neither give place to the devil. That means don't give him any foothold. Don't give him any territory. Don't give him anything. Amen. Press in. You say, well, I've cooled off, Pastor. Well, guess what? Press in. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Press in. Press in. Amen. Amen. See, this is what's happening. I'm going to go back and I'll close with this. This is why we're losing so many pastors right now. Listen. The problem is you have to keep pressing in. And too many of them are swallowed up with pleasures. They're not bad people. But the devil took them out. Do you remember, a guy in the Bible named Samson? I remember Samson. Now, you know, Samson wasn't a bad person. He was a foolish person. Samson was in covenant with God, but he got to playing around with the world. Remember? Matter of fact, here's the thing. God raised up Samson. He totally lost touch with his purpose. God raised up Samson to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. Now, don't even answer this question because I don't want you to get it wrong. But did he ever deliver the Philistines, the Israelites from the Philistines? Now, wait a minute. He killed Philistines. But he never did do it on Israel's behalf. He always did it to them when they made him angry. I caught that one day reading the book of Samuel. Every time he had a conflict with the Philistines and killed them, it's because he's mad at them. Amen. He told him, one day, you plowed with my heifer. That's talking about his wife. And he was mad at him. And so he played around with him. He played around. He was immoral. He played around with unclean things. Yet he still had that strength on him. But one day, he went too far. Remember that? And the Bible says that Delilah said, the Philistines are on you, Samson. He said, I'm going to go out, shake myself as at other times. And the Bible said he knew not the Lord had departed from him. He didn't realize he'd gone too far. And he lost it, see. Now, I've heard people talk about, well, yeah, but he killed more at his death than he did all of his life. Yeah, but look how he died. He died a prisoner with his eyes gouged out. That wasn't what God had in mind. God had for him to be victorious. Hallelujah. Like some of the other judges in Israel that killed the enemies of God and went out in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. That's not what Samson did. Samson just slowly burnt out. But he didn't know the Lord had departed from him. See, here's the thing about, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you know, he comes in and he makes a lot of noise. Hallelujah. You know what? When he came on the day of Pentecost, the whole city knew about it. But if you grieve him and you cut his power off, you don't even realize it until it's the Philistines wake you up, the enemies of God wake you up. Then it's too late. I'm just warning us, keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Heavy message today. I hope you're not too sad, but I hope you took it as a, you know, as a warning. We got to keep pressing in so much the more as we see the day approaching. And brother, it's on us right now. And we need to keep pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for his word. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but, you know, I really value, you know, I mean, I preach a lot on what we have in Christ, our inheritance. But I probably value these kind of preachings and teachings more than any. When I go to a book table or tape table, I like the stuff on faithfulness and commitment. You know, because I know that's the key to walking in the blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, he said, you know, in our days, he said, there was a lot less sickness in the church. You know, when he was pastoring. He said, there was a whole lot less sickness in the church. He said, but people were a lot more consecrated back then. They didn't have all the things pulling at them. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And they didn't have things like what we have in church today back then. I mean, you don't have to go that far back. You know, we didn't have the stuff that we have today, you know. All the things for kids and stuff like that. You kidding me? The kids slept under the chairs, you know, the pews or whatever. We didn't have all the things, you know, that we had back that we have today. We didn't have all the nice. So then some of them didn't have air conditioning. Wooden pews. It's just a matter of our hearts, right? Amen. We don't have to have everything we think we have to have today. We just got to have Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm closing. I'm going to ask the team. Come on up, team, if you would. Let's get a song ready. But today we're taught, I don't buy it. I'm not totally against it, but I don't buy it, that we have to be really relevant today. In other words, you know, we have to be really relevant. We have to dress like the world. We have to have music like the world. We have to do things like the world. I don't buy that. Now, I'm not saying we got to dress like the 1930s. Although some of that's come back around. Sometimes I'll watch old movies like Cary Grant, and I'll think, man, he's got my suit on. Because it's come back, see. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of teaching. Matter of fact, there are even teachings among our Word of Faith churches. They've taught them, you're going to have to dress down, calm down, and dumb down. You know, that's just demonic advice. Amen. We ought to dress up for God. We ought to be on fire for God. Amen. We should know as much about Him as we possibly can. Now, what I was going to say, listen to me now. I know that what really gets people, and I'm not saying, you know, no, we don't, you know, we can use modern stuff, and we can modernize as long as we keep it sanctified and don't, you know, do anything contrary to the Word and principles of God. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily, as long as it's anointed, right? As long as it's anointed, you know, because, but here's what I want to say. I remember, I grew up, you know, drugs and rock and roll, okay? And when I came into the church that I went into as a drug user, I went to church, you know, they were singing out of those blue hymnals. Anybody old enough remember those blue hymnals, you know? They were singing song, and I mean, it was more like Southern gospel. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend that walks with me. Come on, team, join me. You know, they were doing, listen to me. That was not my world at all. Zero, zilch, nada. But you know what? It didn't matter because I sensed the Spirit of God. Are you with me? They may have been singing. They weren't doing Led Zeppelin. They weren't doing Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. They weren't doing the Rolling Stones. They weren't doing, you know, some of the bands that I listened to. They weren't doing any of that. Amen. Pastor Jerry's favorite song, Monster Mash. They weren't doing that. They weren't doing any of that. But they had something. And I'd rather walk into that that has something on it than walk into something that's relative to me that has no anointing whatsoever. I'll take the anointing. And that's what they had. That's what they had. We don't have to compromise. We just got to stay anointed. Amen. And we don't have to just bang the piano and sing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We can move on from that as long as we stay anointed and the people that are writing the music are really godly people that are anointed. Some of our Christian songs, I hate to tell you, are written by people that are drinking and getting stoned and getting drunk in a back room. They're just making money off of it. And you can sure tell it too, because it don't carry anything. But when God's behind it, it lasts. You ever notice how long Amazing Grace has been around? I wonder why. because it was anointed. Amen. Let's all stand up. Thank God for His Word. Glory to God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.